This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton.
The University of Pennsylvania's School of Social Policy and Practice looks to create answers for some of the most important issues facing our culture today. And the school is getting ready to award a $5,000 prize to students who come up with the best new ways to innovate and work towards a solution to problems that were recently published on their top 10 social justice and policy issues. You may remember that we spoke in the recent past with Dean John Jackson on the show about the top 10 list. Here to discuss the competition are Kat Ruschetta, who's founding executive director of the Center for High Impact Philanthropy and also an adjunct faculty at the School of Social Policy and Practice, SP2. And also with us on the phone, Julie Franklin, whose family is sponsoring the competition. She's an entrepreneurial investor, and her family, she oversees her family foundation, whose mission is focused on children, education, and the pursuit of social justice. Julie graduated from the University of Pennsylvania back in 1987. Great to see you, Kat, as
great
always.
Great to be here.
Thank you, Dan. Julie, great to have you on the phone with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So it sounds like, Julie, that this top 10 list really resonated with you and your family's foundation and the work that you guys are trying to do.
That is correct.
What were the areas that really caught your eye the most?
Well, I sit on the board of SB2, so I'm very familiar with all the issues that they're addressing. And as you said, they are some of the most complex challenges in our society, and it's truly admirable work. We on the board of SB2 often refer to the school as the little engine that could, and they're really addressing society's biggest challenges.
Well, in the work that your family's foundation does, what are the biggest concerns that you have out there in our society, some of the issues that really you're trying to tackle the most?
I would say the primary one that we're concerned with is education and the problems with those that are not having access to education or are their needs in the education space are not being addressed as they should.
How did the competition come about in the first place, Julie?
So, like I said, our SB2, the little engine that could, I also see SB2 as a school of unsung heroes. And the research and intellectual rigor required of the students and the faculty is so admirable, and I felt deserved recognition. And for this reason, we decided to create a prize for students to acknowledge their unbelievably tireless efforts and to motivate them to come up with innovative ways to address some of these complex issues that we see in our society. It's also a great opportunity for us to celebrate these students and highlight the wonderful work of SB2.
And the nice thing, Kat, is this is something that's going to be happening in the next couple of days here on campus. People can come in and, you know, it's open to the public. I mean, it's a great opportunity to really kind of get an idea of what some of the young minds are thinking about.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons why our team at the Center for High Impact Philanthropy was so excited about co-hosting this with SB2 is that it provides such a great platform to frankly show off the commitment to social impact and social justice that our students have, but also the just multidisciplinary thinking that goes behind some of the best solutions. So one of the things I'm most excited about with the prize celebration on Friday and the competition is that each team is comprised of students from multiple programs and multiple schools. And as we know from the work that we do at the Center for High Impact Philanthropy, when you are trying to tackle some of these really complex and pressing societal issues, you really need that kind of multidisciplinary lens. You can bring the best training from social work, from nonprofit leadership, from Wharton in business, from the Graduate School of Education. I mean, we need all that thinking if we're really going to make progress on these issues.
Well, a lot of people talk about that being one of the ways to being able to solve some of the biggest problems in society in general right now is having more collaboration. And seemingly this is a way to do this here on the collegiate level that hopefully will kind of flourish and go out into society going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why 3 years ago, our team at the center started the first of its kind graduate course that was focused on social impact, but open to graduate students from all 12 schools here at the university. You know, not every student who graduates from Penn is going to be a social worker or a social entrepreneur, but each of them will be able to contribute to solving society's problems, whether as a philanthropist or because they're going to be volunteers or engage in their corporate community involvement efforts. And this prize and the classes that the students are taking right now equip them to be those kinds of change agents we want them to be.
And Julia, I would imagine that in terms of going through a lot of these potential projects that, you know, will be on profile on Friday, I mean, a lot of those philosophies, those mindsets are really prevalent in what you're trying to bring forth.
Absolutely. And Chip was a natural resource for us to turn to when we came up with the idea of the prize and the structure for the prize, because Kat and her team really work hard to prepare our students to be the next set of leaders. And their classrooms became this incubator for the students to generate ideas. And Kat and Chow in their classrooms became mentors for these teams. And to Kat's point, it became a collaborative effort where the students worked and engaged together and across disciplines and across fields.
Well, I'm sorry, finish up, Julia. I apologize.
No, I was just saying that that sort of netted out to be one of the most rewarding parts of the process.
Well, one of the interesting things in looking at on the website about the actual teams and what they are trying to do, three of the six are dealing with some version of helping people that are end up in prison or, you know, have had some sort of life-altering event where they are trying to come back from, you know, some time in jail or something to that element, which I find is, you know, that's an amazing thing. A lot of people have talked about that, but it is still a problem today of reintegrating people in society or helping them get that job when they get out of prison, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, this is it was no surprise to us as some of the faculty for these classes that was a topic that a lot of students were drawn to because it has such wide-reaching effects in communities. I mean, when you have a 60% recidivism rate, that means people who leave prison with no other and better opportunities come back.
Yeah.
And it's not just about those individuals where you've got the lost potential of them contributing successfully. It's their children, it's their families, it's the neighborhoods that they're coming from. So to be able to get much better solutions to that particular problem has a kind of ripple effect, not just for the people who no longer are going back to jail, but all their families and the neighborhoods that are affected by their absence.
Well, and Julia, it's probably just as much, you know, having them feel more comfortable in society in general. Obviously, you know, having them potentially get the work and really have that piece to it is important. But, you know, when you and hear from people, when you come out of prison, it's just you have a much different feel about being in society, and to make people feel more comfortable about that, that's a huge step in the process.
Absolutely.
844-942-7866 is the number to give us a call if you'd like to join in. Some of the other ones that are involved in this, there is a group called Fresh Box that are looking at the food problem in urban societies right now. There's work with youth trying to, you know, help kids not drop out of school as much. I mean, there's quite a range of ideas that are being brought forth here.
Yeah, and I mean, sadly, there's not a lack of societal problems that are worth creating innovative solutions to. So this is just a few of the SP2 top 10 that faculty and students are working on. But what's great about some of the solutions that the students are proposing, I mean, not only are they big societal issues, but because the teams are so diverse, they're not only bringing their classroom experience, but they're bringing some of their real-world life experience into the solution. So we had students in the class, we had one who was a former farmer.
Yeah.
And so understands the food system and where fresh food comes from and why that's so hard to get into certain neighborhoods. We've had former teachers in the classroom who can really speak very personally and specifically to what it's like to help some of these students who are struggling. And so you're going to get not only hopefully good coaching from Chow and I and some of the other faculty, but also some of the real world experience that these graduate students bring into the classroom.
Well, with Julie, the fact that one of these is also also, as we mentioned, involved with education, which, as you said, was right kind of up your alley and what your family's foundation is trying to improve with. Just the number of kids and the impact of kids not completing high school and not getting that degree and being able to either go out into the workforce or go on to college, whatever that may be, that's a huge problem in this country right now.
Yes, education is an enormous challenge in the underserved populations. With overcrowding, there's not enough teachers, there's not enough resources to support the children, and that then becomes bigger problems along the way. You know, if we could tackle the problem of education, in my view, it would, you know, de-stress our society with so many of the challenges that we face, because these uneducated students, when they're dropping out, they're turning toward, you know, whether it's drugs or alternative lifestyles that are not productive. And with a strong foundation in education, we empower our youth to be able to go on and be productive members of our society.
Part of that is also giving a fix to a lot of the school systems, especially some of the urban ones here in Philadelphia, Chicago. They, you know, these are ones that have been talked about a lot, Julie. And you know, you have to be able to put forth a plan to be able to correct some of the problems that are in these school districts from a base level so that these kids really are getting the education that they need.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's
and
one. Go ahead, Julie.
Go ahead.
Julie and I are both so excited about this prize.
Yeah. Go ahead, Julie first, and then we'll go to Kat.
Well, I was actually going to divert and just talk more about the students, so let me let Kat finish.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say the part of not only were we wanting to have a way to bring in some of the real world experiences that some of our students have as teachers and working in education, but if you look at some of the judges for the prize, including former Mayor Michael Nutter. Great minds think alike. That is, you know, that emphasizes the fact this wasn't meant to be a academic theoretical idea.
Right.
This was about taking the best information, the best training, and testing it in the real world so that we can all think better and smarter about how to tackle these problems.
Julie?
And to Kat's point, I was just going to add that we're, you know, delighted with this wonderful panel of judges that they've pulled together, and also thrilled that the prize is being held at the Pennovation Center, which was, you know, such an important vision of Amy Gutman's. But we wanted to encourage people to remember that the idea of entrepreneurship is not just about pitching business ideas or medical ideas or making things, but entrepreneurs can use their skills and create initiatives that will really do good and help us create a better society.
As you both alluded to, and Kat, I'll let you take this. I mean, having a former mayor of a major city here, you know, obviously he's not the mayor right now, but still has influence in a variety of different areas, not only here in Philadelphia, but obviously with mayors around the country, to be able to say, hey, look, this is what I learned from this event. We need to kind of implement this in your city or find a way to kind of tweak it to make it work so that we can improve X, Y, and Z.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at each of the judges, not only are they all Penn alums, by the way? Which so this is an part of a long history of Penn preparing leaders to address challenges in the social sector. But they, each of them, are in a position to take the ideas that they hear and what they learn from the conversations among the students and spread it out in the world. So, you know, it starts here at Penn with the students and their ideas, and then expands with the judges, with the audience that'll be there. And hopefully everybody will leave with both a clearer sense of the problem, but more importantly, a clearer sense of what a great solution could look like.
Is that just as much important as anything, Julie? It's just kind of continuing that word of mouth. And the more you can have that happen, the more people you're going to reach. It kind of spider webs out so that you can have a lot, a greater deal of change.
That's exactly right. The whole idea of giving to our communities, our nation, our world, these are democratic values. And civic engagement is such a fundamental principle of Penn as a whole, and truly it's intrinsic to what SB2 stands for. So nurturing these civic-minded students who will bring this valuable education that they're receiving and positively impact our society by helping people lead healthier lives, and you know, you start locally, and like you said, it spreads.
Well, and part of this is also, I mean, with here in Philadelphia and other major cities, you have at times such a friction politically between the sides of the aisle right now that there are many cases where you can't get stuff done. Here's an opportunity to maybe be kind of be able to bridge that gap and be able to get things done that really haven't been able to be accomplished, you know, in years past.
Well, that gets back to one of the things that Julie mentioned, and I know was a real goal and value of establishing the prize, which was to show how collaboration can work and how when you're focused on a common goal, it can transcend political differences, program differences. You know, for some of these students, it's the first time and maybe the only time in their whole Penn career that they're going to be working side by side a nonprofit leadership student with a Wharton student, with somebody getting a master's in social work.
Yeah.
Right. What a great opportunity to be able to learn from and appreciate a very different perspective, but all in the service of a worthy goal.
And obviously the fact that it's just not the idea, Julie, that ends up winning. I mean, all of the finalists are doing, you know, are thinking along phenomenal lines to be able to make change in a variety of different areas right now. And that's the goal, is to be able to take as many ideas forward as you can to make as quick a change as you possibly can.
That's correct. Just like our founder, Benjamin Franklin, was committed to putting knowledge into action for the greatest good, so too do these SB2 students passionately pursue, you know, social innovation, impact, and social justice above all else.
So this will again be this Friday, May the 12th, from noon until 3 p.m., so people in the Philadelphia area, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania suburbs, Jersey, Delaware, are more than welcome to come in. Might be a little bit tough for the people in Los Angeles, but we still understand. From 12 to 3, the doors open at 11:30. It's at the Pennovation Center, which is 3401 Grays Ferry Avenue, right here in Philadelphia, right down from where we are here at the University of Pennsylvania. So these students will basically be presenting these ideas, and the judges will be taking stock of them, and we will have a winner at the end of the day.
We sure will. Yep.
Julie, thanks very much for joining us on the phone today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And just a shout out to all my fellow alums who are coming back for our 30th year reunion. I encourage you all to come and support this great effort.
Thanks, Julie. Kat, great to see you again. Thank
great
you very much.
Thank
great
you.
To have you.
For more insight from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.